Welcome to Belfast City Vineyard, where we are pursuing formation in the presence of Jesus, community gathered around him, and the impact he empowers us to bring in our families, city, and the world. The following message was given at one of our Sunday services. For more information, visit our website at belfastcityvineyard.com.
Well, good morning and happy Easter. It's wonderful to get to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus and the life that we have in him and to do that together. I don't know how you feel, but I feel like this is a pretty strange Easter. It's our second Easter in some sort of lockdown. Hope is on the horizon, but we are in this weird gray zone. On the one hand, emerging from something and excited to be doing that, but also exhausted and bruised by what we've gone through. And if we're honest, anxious about emerging into a world that has changed, even though we're not really sure what the full extent of that change is. And the passage I want to preach from this morning actually depicts a similar world for the disciples. Their world was turned upside down and shaken by the crucifixion of Jesus, their rabbi and friend, when they were expecting him to become king. And then after the shattering of their dreams and exhaustion from what must have been a tumultuous number of days, Jesus appears to them risen, and he comes fully present to them, very much alive. And of course, they're filled with hope and joy, but also a terrifying, uncertain new world that they're emerging into. Like, what does this all mean? And at least to most of them, that was the case. One of them, Thomas, wasn't there. He had yet to see the risen Jesus. And I've been meditating on Thomas's story and on his doubt and on his subsequent encounter with Jesus. And I think it offers us something this Easter Sunday morning. I want to pray for us, and then we'll go right into Thomas's story from John chapter 20. Lord Jesus, would you come and be with us? Would you unite us together around your word to us? We bring you our own doubts and fears and griefs. And I pray that we would experience the joy, power, and reality of your resurrection. Would you use this passage of scripture to encourage us and to build us up? We ask this in your mighty name. Amen. Well, you all have probably heard of Doubting Thomas, and his story begins in John chapter 20, verses 24 and 25. Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." So it begins with Thomas. It says he was called Didymus. Thomas was his Aramaic name, and Didymus was his Greek name, and they both mean twin. So Thomas was a twin. And by this time that our passage hits, Jesus had appeared to Mary at the tomb and to the disciples once before, who were locked away in an upper room, as Suzanne read for us so well just a few minutes ago. But Thomas wasn't with them. When he hears of it, he then gives his famous declaration that he won't believe unless. And forever after, he's been known as Doubting Thomas. He's been known as late to the party. He's been known as like a weak link. And strangely, I can remember this passage being preached when I was a very young boy in church. And maybe to you parents, it's a plug for bringing your young children to church, even though it seems like they're not taking anything in or anything like that. And it maybe feels like, oh my gosh, are they going to be noisy or something like that? Well, don't worry about that. I mean, children can take I took this in as I was a very young boy. I can remember the pastor preaching on this. And I can remember thinking about Thomas and really actually impacting me as a young boy. And I was always fascinated by Thomas's story. And I remember hearing it taught, don't be a Thomas. Don't be a Thomas. Be like the other disciples. And as I've gotten older, and especially this Easter, I've found that I actually really resonate with Thomas. I love him more and more. And I see myself in him because I know what it's like to doubt. And I know what it's like to have bitter disappointments and questions and griefs. And Thomas, he just here says simply, I'm not going to believe. I'm just not going to believe unless. Not because he cares too little, but because he's seen too much. He's seen his friend Jesus, all the hopes that he had placed on him. He's seen him crucified and the end of just his dreams. And that grief is just too raw and too real. It doesn't make sense and it just hurts too much. And I know from my conversations with people from all different kinds of backgrounds, just the pain and the reality of doubt as we enter into chaos and suffering. You know, questions that lead to doubt and unbelief, they're so often driven by pain and disappointment. And that's certainly true in this pandemic time that we're living in. And in fact, the biggest reasons that usually that people cite for doubt or leaving faith or just unable to even enter into faith in Jesus at all is this problem of pain. Problem of pain. Why do we suffer if God is powerful, good, and loves us? And you know, we all are probably having some of those questions as we journey through the difficult stages of this pandemic. Why are we going through what we're going through right now if God is powerful and he's good and he loves us? On top of that, we're actually living in a world right now where people are doubting everything. We're doubting everything. There's a cynicism in our world. Everything is just tinged with doubt. And maybe you felt that. Maybe you felt like things like Brexit and racial tension that's alive in our world and violence and sectarianism and the sharp political divides that we see in our own lands and seemingly everywhere else in the world. We see economic uncertainty with the pandemic itself. It's all kind of come together to produce a climate of fear and insecurity and distrust of nearly every institution that you can think of. And then throw in disinformation and the craziness of social media on top of it, and we just have a huge mess. And it's no wonder that so many of us are gripped by uncertainty and doubt and are just wanting off of this painful journey. And it feels like, as a follower of Jesus, that there's kind of only two responses as we journey this, as we're faced with painful questions and doubt. Maybe the first would be just to retreat into cynicism and, you know, burn it all down and to just kind of end it and just, I can't go there anymore. And then maybe another response would be just to kind of suppress our doubts and our questions and retreat into just kind of Christian cliches, or just go for the distractions that are so readily available. I have these doubts, I have these questions, but I'm just not going to think about that, and I'm just going to live an unexamined life. You know, where's my phone kind of thing. Well, what if there's another way this Easter morning? You know, I love Thomas because he kind of found that other way. He didn't hide his questions, his doubt, and his pain, and he puts it right out there. Just like our friends are doing, our co-workers are doing, maybe some of our family members are doing, or our neighbors are doing. And he's even a bit aggressive with it, just like our friends and family and even co-workers can be with us when we try and talk with them about faith and life with Jesus. And I think the doubt and the questions are so painful because whether we follow Jesus and love him or whether we think it's all just a made-up fairy tale for weak people, we all, no matter who we are, have this sense deep within us that the world is profoundly broken and it isn't as it should be. And I believe we all have this sense because we all bear the image of God and we were all made for Eden. We were made for the presence of God. And we long for this and we groan for this and we groan and pray for a new heavens and a new earth. And we actually long for a savior. We long for rescue and hope and we long for a healed world. Just think of the stories in popular culture that go circulating round and round over and over again. They're all stories of rescue and heroes and healing the world and salvation and making broken things right again. That's just kind of in the ecosystem of who we are, whether we love Jesus or we don't want to know him at all. it's just in our hearts in a deep way. And that's where the grief comes from. That's what's in the hearts of our family, friends, and neighbors. And that's actually what's in our own hearts. We're longing for our true home. And we feel like something's broken with the world. The truth is we have these things. We have them because of Jesus' resurrection. And one day we will know in fullness when we see him face to face the reality of the healing of the world. Well, what answers does Thomas get? What answers does Thomas get? Well, the same answers that are available to you and me and our friends and neighbors and our co-workers and our families. The answers actually begin in scars. They begin in scars. It goes on to say, a week later, his disciples were in the house again and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you. Peace be with you." And again, I always heard this part of the story of Thomas preached like, you know, Jesus is about to rebuke him like a stern headmaster or something like that. But it just isn't true. It's a week later and they're still hiding out. And by the way, if the other disciples were so full of faith, you know, why are they sitting somewhere afraid with the doors locked, right? It just must have been such a confusing time. You know, what on earth has even happened? What is going to happen? What do we do next? You know, and then Jesus appears to them. He's with them. And he says what he always says. He says, "Peace, peace be with you." And he says it even to Thomas. If you are in the agony of doubt this morning, Jesus says to you, "Peace, my peace be with you." If you are exhausted due to what we have been through in the last year, he says, "Peace to you this morning." If you're anxious and you have no idea what the future holds, Jesus says, "Peace to you this morning." And you need to rest in that. Well, then he ends up singling Thomas out. And imagine this attention in the room when it becomes clear Jesus' attention shifts dramatically to Thomas. Well, how must he been feeling? He must have been shaking. You know, how can this be true? It's actually true. Here he is, right here. But I remember what I said, and it's what is happening right now. What is Jesus going to say to me? Well, we see this in verse 27. Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." And again, we may have heard this taught as like a scolding, but it isn't. It's a tender moment of incredible intimacy. I heard a talk on Thomas from a wonderful pastor called Greg Thompson. And he made this point, and he showed this incredible painting by Caravaggio, and it's called The Incredulity of St. Thomas. And I'm going to just leave it up on the screen here, and you can stare at this beautiful painting while I talk for a few minutes. So just look at it. Just look at it for a second. Look at the tenderness of Jesus. Look at the stunned reaction of the two disciples, like trying to get in on this moment. They're just over Thomas's shoulder. And then look at Thomas's face. Like, just look, he just looks stunned. And then look how Jesus, he takes Thomas's hand into his own hand and then places it in the scar. It's not a, "If you must do this because you're such a terrible follower of mine, then oh well, do it." He actually says, "This is what you need. This is what you will get." It's love and it's mercy. And the answer Jesus gives Thomas is the same answer he gives us. He gives him himself. He gives himself his scars and his victory over sin and death. Now, it is a victory, but listen, the victory of Jesus didn't come as like an invincible, all-powerful, all-conquering superhero. It was a victory won through redemptive suffering. A victory won through redemptive suffering with the scars to prove it. He's saying to Thomas and to us, "I bore it. I bore it. I suffered. I bore not just your pain and your questions. I bore your sin and shame. I paid it. I paid it all. I paid it all. I now give you myself. I now invite you into life with me in this new world. Come follow me as in time the whole earth is redeemed, all questions answered, and all tears wiped away. See, Thomas, in that moment, got his answer. And it's an answer for us. It's an answer for our city, for our friends, our family, our neighbors, our co-workers, for our world. That we don't follow a doctrine, a list of rules, or an idea. We follow the risen Jesus who entered into our world of chaos, pain, doubt, and suffering. And he suffered to redeem and to save it and to save us. So you don't need me to tell you that we all have scars. Some of our scars are visible, and lots of our scars are somewhere on the inside, but they're just as real. And this Easter, we're not going to have every question answered, but we can rejoice in the risen Jesus, that we can follow and know a God with his own scars, proof of his victory, but also of his suffering. And in our darkest moments, when we cry out about suffering and the chaos that we see in the world, we have a Savior that says, I know your pain. And not at a distance, but as one who dwelt among us, knew us completely, and suffered not just with us, but suffered for us, who is with us now, loving us and empowering us, tending to us in our own pain and suffering, and a Savior who will one day return at the end of all things when all will be made right. That may not answer all of our questions or our doubts, but it gives us a place to go with them to him. And that's where Thomas went. That's where Thomas went, because he says simply, my Lord and my God. He cries out and he collapses into the arms of Jesus and to the relief of faith. Now, what about us? What about you? You might say, well, that's really fine for Thomas, Andy. He got what he was looking for. He got to be with him in the flesh. He actually got to touch his scars. He got to place his hand in his side. What about me? What about me? Well, notice verse 29. And Jesus told him, because you've seen me, you've believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and have yet believed. And he says, look, Thomas, you get your blessing. You got your blessing. But then he speaks out across the ages, right to you and right to me. He says, blessed are you who have not seen and yet believed. So Thomas got his heart's desire, what he was longing for. There's no doubt about that. But Jesus says to you, and to me, you're blessed too. And as you long for more than you currently see, as you hope for more in his name, you're blessed. You're blessed. Take heart, take hope this Easter morning. Receive again the blessing of the risen, ruling, and reigning Lord Jesus Christ, who will come again to judge the living and the dead. Come and live in his blessing. See, shortly after these events, Jesus would return to the Father, but the Holy Spirit would fill the disciples with his empowering presence. And Jesus had already taught them to abide, remain, or dwell in him. He is the vine, they as the branches, and the Spirit would help them do that, would help them abide in him and experience his life and his presence. And he invites us to do the same. And that is available to you and to me. It's available now. And we call it practicing the way of Jesus, taking on rhythms and practices that men and women have practiced over many centuries, from the disciples on down, to keep us abiding in the presence of Jesus until our death or his return. to in that place reformed and shaped and live in the blessing of His presence and His friendship and His love. And we do that by the Spirit. This morning, this Easter morning, will you make that the serious intention of your life? To experience and live in and dwell in His presence. Even though we do now, at this stage, see through a glass dimly. One day, we will see the risen Lord with His scars of victory and triumph and suffering, and we will see Him face to face. I want to talk, or actually end, with resurrection hope in anxious and uncertain times. Well, in the beginning, I mentioned how strange and uncertain this Easter feels. Again, Thomas's life, I think, says something to us here. I believe the disciples, including Thomas, stepped out into a new world that first Easter, full of hope and strength from their encounters with the risen Jesus, but also having no idea what was coming next. The world had changed, but they didn't yet know how or what they were actually going to go do or be sent to do. And just imagine the joy and the confusion and the anxiety all meeting together. If you read the book of Acts, which is about the birth of the church, what the disciples did next in the power of the Holy Spirit, you see that there are victories and breakthroughs and strange wonders that happen, but there's also suffering and rejection and trials and martyrdom as the church expands again in the power of the Holy Spirit. You might be wondering, well, what happened to Thomas? Thomas, the one who refused to believe until he had placed his hands in the side of the risen Jesus, ended up staying faithful to Jesus until his death. And he actually is credited with bringing the gospel message about Jesus to India. And in fact, this week, I stumbled across an article in the Guardian newspaper, of all places, that talks about this. They profiled a book, and it started from the premise that the Thomas story about Thomas going to India must be a legend. But after research and all this stuff, they concluded that it was compellingly plausible. In fact, in Kerala, in southwest India, all over that region, there are what's known as St. Thomas Christians, who maintain that Thomas turned up there in AD 52 and planted at least 7 churches and was martyred there in AD 72. If you think about that kind of a life, if you think about that stretch of time between when Thomas placed his hand in Jesus' side and his martyrdom in AD 72, and all that must have happened between then, there must have been great joy and suffering and trial and uncertainty in the many years that he carried the gospel witness to the resurrection of his friend and Lord Jesus. And this year, AD 2021, we are emerging into what feels like an uncertain new world, and we are unclear as to what exactly it means for all of us. We must remember that just like Thomas, we move forward in the power and life of the resurrection. We'll move forward through our own victories, joys, and sufferings and trials. But we will move forward in Jesus' power. So today, this Easter, with all of its strangeness, in the midst of coronavirus uncertainty and turmoil in the world, let's bring our doubts, our questions, our suffering, and our scars to the risen Jesus. Let us remember that He suffered for us, that He died and was buried, but on the third day He rose again. And He currently is alive and well, and He is interceding for us at the right hand of the Father. And one day He will return, and His kingdom will have no end. Let us confess before Him today, all over again, as Thomas did, "My Lord and my God." And let's let our strength and hope rise as we experience His presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. And let us carry His good news, the reason for our hope and strength and joy. Let us carry that wherever the Lord sends us. I want to end with my favorite ever quote about Easter, and I read this to you every Easter, whether you want me to or not. I just love it so much. I want to close with this. It's a quote from Philip Yancey. He says, "In many respects, I would find an unresurrected Jesus easier to accept. Easter makes him dangerous. Because of Easter, I have to listen to his extravagant claims and can no longer pick and choose from his sayings. Moreover, Easter means he must be loose out there somewhere. Like the disciples, I never know where Jesus might turn up, how he might speak to me, what he might ask of me. As Frederick Buechner says, Easter means we can never nail him down, not even if the nails we use are real and the thing we nail him to is a cross. We never know when Jesus is going to turn up, and we never know what he might ask of us. What we do know is we can be confident in his presence and his power and his glory and his coming kingdom. I want to pray for us this Easter morning. Before I do that, I just want to say that our coffee and chat time isn't happening today, but prayer ministry will be, and you can sign up for that on our website. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I want to pray for all those who are watching this right now, who are just in that place of agony and doubt. Lord, would you have mercy upon them, and would you help us be a compassionate place where doubt and questions become faith and hope. Would you speak to, would you bring revelation to people who are wrestling with big questions about you? Would you meet with them? And I pray for Thomas moments for men and women like me who feel like they might lose their nerve at times or where big questions are coming. Lord, would you help us? Would you guide us? Would you be with us? We pray for your mercy to be upon us. I just had a sense that some of us, we've just been around Jesus a lot, but we've never yet declared what Thomas declared, you know, my Lord and my God, and began to follow them no matter where it takes us, even to the ends of the earth. But because of the Easter story, you want to place your faith and hope and trust in Jesus. You want to declare to Jesus, you are my Lord and my God, and make it the serious intention of your life to follow him and to practice his way and to live in his presence. So if that is you and you want to do that this Easter morning, right now, will you just pray in your heart after me? Risen Jesus, I confess you as Lord. Forgive me for my wrongs. Heal me of the wrongs done to me. I believe you died and rose again. Fill me with your Spirit as I follow you. And if you prayed that and you are beginning your life with Jesus as your Lord, if you've given him your ultimate yes, we want to hear from you. Would you email pastoral@belfastcityvineyard.com? We want to hear from you and we want to help you continue on in your journey of following Jesus. I had a sense that others of us, we just feel frozen. We just feel caught again in this gray zone. And we just can't picture a world where the news is good. We just can't picture that, and we feel stuck, and we feel like there's a heaviness on us. And I just had a sense that the Lord wanted to minister to you right now. And he wanted, I just want to pray for you. I believe he wants you to know that there's better things that you've ever known ahead of you. He wants to rekindle hope in you. He wants you to experience the love of Jesus more than you can ever ask or imagine. So come, Holy Spirit, and would you minister to people who just for whatever reason just cannot lift their heads? Would you strengthen them and empower them? And would you flip their narratives? And even though the times we are living in are dark and hard and heavy, would you allow us to see your hope on the horizon? And would your hope fill us now? Come, Holy Spirit, and minister to your people. And then lastly, I just find Thomas's story so compelling, from doubt to faith and then going out and carrying his gospel even to the ends of the world. And I just wanted to put out a call. I just had a sense that maybe some of you are just really, really stirred up by that that Jesus might ask you to do something like that. He might ask you to do something crazy, like consider church planting or evangelism or mission somewhere in our city or even beyond. And I just had a sense that some of you are experiencing his love and reality at such a depth that you're thinking, where's next? Where do I need to go? What are you calling me to? So I want to pray for you. Lord Jesus, I pray for the men and women that you're speaking to. Give us great boldness rooted in your love. And may we listen and go wherever and to whomever you send us. We pray that we would become a center of church planting, mission, and evangelism in our city. And so I pray for many men and women to be filled with your Spirit afresh, to go out and to live out your gospel and gather many, many other people who are not yet worshiping you into a life of worship, discipleship, and trust in you. So Lord, would you do that miracle with us as a church and speak to men and women right now. I want to end just by blessing you this Easter and just say over all of us, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Happy Easter.
Thanks for listening to this message. For all the latest information about what's happening in the life of our church, or if you have any questions or comments, head over to BelfastCityVineyard.com.